You're listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt. And in spring of 2011, over the course of only 2 months, Night Demon had formed, wrote and recorded their debut EP, and decided it was time to turn this fun side project into a live act. And on May 20th of 2011, they took the stage for the first time. So this is Night Demon, the first show, part two. So last episode, we heard how, after a few missteps and hesitations, Night Demon finally got their first gig opening for future Night Demon guitar player Armand John Anthony's Thin Lizzy tribute, Bad Reputation, at the Bombay in Ventura, California. So remember that at this point, Night Demon was basically just a fun side project for these guys. In fact, 1 week before this Bad Reputation show, Jarvis and his main band, The Heartbeats, had just played their album release party on this very same stage. After that show that you just heard from, Jarvis's other band, his side project, Night Demon, is booked to play the very same club. So I guess playing a live show was another step in what was kind of a fun, side project becoming more of a bigger focus for these guys. Like, Night Demon was basically riding this wave of momentum from forming to having a fun jam to writing four original songs and recording an EP all over about 8 weeks. So now they're playing a live show, and Night Demon is becoming more and more of a legit project for these guys, even if I guess the guys in the band didn't really realize it yet. So four original songs, with only four songs and an opening slot, the band kind of needs to be creative to fill the set list. And I'll just take this time to remind you that there's live audio and video of this first show that we're about to get into, available in the bonus section on nightdemon.net. And anyway, if you listen or watch, you'll see that the set list for the show is a tight 8 songs with a few little extra things thrown in there. And with only 4 original songs, Night Demon needs to get creative to construct a killer set list for the first show. Here's Dusty Squires.
I was definitely at the first Night Demon show, 2011. I remember Jarvis saying that he wanted to have a band to play with New Liberty, and I always thought that was kind of funny. I don't think, not like a clown funny, haha, but I didn't think that that was the real reason, but that's what he would say. It was something that I thought was the right place at the right time, obviously. They were just showcasing what they were doing, because up to that point, they had just written the EP and put it together. And this was the first time that they were bringing those songs out. Obviously, it was only 4 songs, so they had to play other covers, you know, Lightning to the Nations, and fill some time.
So with only 4 songs, there's got to be some covers to fill out the full set. Here's Brent Woodward from an interview he did with Metal Assault Radio.
Well, I think we were just hungry to play shows right away. We had 4 songs, you know, so we get through in a few covers just to fill out our set, and we just played songs that we loved.
So the set list for this first gig is heavy on covers, and like Brent just said, songs that the guys love. The opening track, Lightning to the Nations by Diamond Head, which is fitting to open their first set since it's the first song that the guys ever jammed. Then they move on to Night Demon, then a bass interlude, which is a little instrumental bass area, kind of, you know, to fill time. Then The Chalice, White Witch by the band Angel Witch, which was a favorite of the guys, Radar Love by Golden Earring, Ritual, and closing with Ancient Evil, which I gotta say is a pretty cool, pretty solid, you know, set list that stands up, you know, even today.
The set list for this gig is actually pretty epic. And it actually would resemble something that I would actually do today. So, you know, we have 4 songs. Let's remember that. So we have only 4 songs recorded. It is our first gig. We did do a couple rehearsals, I could see here back in my calendar, to get ready for this. I remember showing up to the gig and, you know, I mean, kind of being a little nervous because there wasn't a lot of people there yet. And, you know, I mean, I was just nervous because it was our first time out. And I mean, I really did want people to show up. We did kind of hype it up. I don't even think we made a flyer or anything, but I remember just telling people about it.
You know, Jarvis at the time, his band was one of the biggest bands in town, and everybody knew Brent, everybody knew Pat. So, you know, they definitely had a reputation in town as being, you know, some important people in the music scene. And at this point, I was only in Ventura for 1 year, and I was just getting to know everybody, and I was just getting my feet wet and trying to have a new life on the West Coast after completely uprooting, you know? I was always down to support the bands, you know? I think everybody in New Liberty, my buddy Shane and Willie, who were in the band with us, we all went out and supported other bands, and I think people really respected New Liberty for that. You know, we were one of the fun bands in town, but we were also a band that was always there for other bands when they were out doing their thing. I remember seeing the Wrath play. I remember seeing the Heartbeats. You know, it's kind of a blur now.
And I do remember, though, at the time, that very night, John Criar, who would be our future drummer, who was at that time the current drummer in the fucking Wrath, Brent's main band, he was singing in another band called Stop Breathing. And they had a show across town at the Golden China, which was this Chinese restaurant that did shows. And they were opening up for the punk rock band, The Adolescents. And so a lot of people, you know, especially at that time, all of our friends, I mean, it was all about the punk scene. And, you know, there was some kind of metal scene that with the fucking Wrath, but they were more in the stoner doom category. And I mean, all of their fans were punk rock people too. So, you know, that had, and we weren't known at all. Obviously, it's our first show and we had nothing, you know, the recording that we had wasn't out yet. But we had, you know, all of our friends that were, they were all going to that other punk rock show. So, I mean, we did have some people come. I remember Craig Kasamas, the singer of the Fucking Wrath, actually did come to the Night Demon Bad Reputation show. We did have some other friends in the house.
Normally when we would do these tribute kind of shows, we wouldn't have an opener. A, because usually we had enough material to play close to 2 hours. And B, you know, we just didn't want to bother having to move our gear and all that, you know. So, but this time was different. I don't remember how it came up exactly about how Night Demon was going to be on this thing. But it was perfect. And I remember when it did come up, I was like, you know what? Yeah, all right, this is a cool thing. Let's let these guys do it. And also that I knew that the crowd that they would bring would also be part of the crowd that loves Thin Lizzy and would love to see myself playing in this Thin Lizzy band. So it was just a win-win for everybody. You know, it was a really good turnout. And the show just rocked.
The audience wasn't large by any means, but it was still a great way for us to kick things off for this band.
I just remember being in the front, probably being more obnoxious than anything, only because Jarvis was in the Heartbeats and Brent was in the Fucking Wrath and Pat's just Pat, you know? Pat's always doing his own thing. So I don't know if I necessarily took it seriously from the start. Only because I was in my band and this was a new project and I knew that those guys were in other bands. I knew that the three guys in Night Demon, Pat, Brent, and Jarvis, were all serious when it came to their love of music and their love of the new wave of British heavy metal. So they were up there carrying the flag, and they were really doing what came naturally to them as far as playing those songs.
I was really impressed with what Night Demon was doing. You know, obviously I heard them kind of rehearsing next door and all that, but, you know, no one had ever seen them live, so it was really good. I don't think I saw the whole set because at some point I probably would have gone backstage or whatever. We didn't really have much of a backstage there, but, you know, get on the guitar, warm up a little bit. I didn't have a problem having some drinks before because I was watching the show, so I could do that. So yeah, it was cool. It was a perfect combination. I think it was a great debut for them. It helped the turnout for the Lizzy band, bringing some of my people, because myself and the guitar player, Rick, you know, there's a bit of an age gap there. And, you know, he's got a little bit of that crowd, more of his age, a little bit older. And then I would bring, you know, my peers or whatever. So it was a cool mix of just Lizzy heads. And they kicked ass. As far as what they were, how they compared to the Fucking Wrath and the Heartbeats, I mean, obviously the Heartbeats was completely different, you know, totally different thing, but the energy was still there because Jarvis brings the fucking energy, and that was the one common thing. As far as comparing to the Fucking Wrath, pretty different. I mean, the Fucking Wrath had some faster, thrashier parts in their songs, but it was definitely more along the lines of the stoner rock kind of Sabbath style of riffs and feels and all that.
And I'm so fucking stoked that the guy that had a professional camera there to film the Thin Lizzy band asked if we wanted to buy a copy of our show. Basically, he was going to film us. At first, I thought, no, man, I'm not going to spend the money on this. But looking back now, I'm really glad that we did. And now we have a recording of this first show. Nobody has ever heard or seen this except for the members of the band. Nobody. And we're breaking it out here on the podcast for the first time ever. And I'm stoked to watch this again. It's been a long time. It's been almost 10 years. And here we go. Let's get into this show. The first Night Demon show ever. Here it is. So The first song we kick off with is, of course, Lightning to the Nations. Of course, leading off with the Diamond Head cover, the song that started it all for us, the first song that we ever played together. It made sense. And such a great fucking song, too. You know, this was pre-Flying V days of Night Demon. You know, that's become our signature, the Flying Vs. But, you know, I'm playing the Fender Precision Bass, and Brent is playing his Stratocaster that he built. It's like a parts guitar, and it's kind of cool. We're actually more like ZZ Top than we think. So even pre-Flying V days, we still have a bass and a guitar that are the same style. So we are uniform in a way. It's so crazy that this band has always had this uniformity to it in its look. And I don't know if that has something to do with my own OCD or some kind of thing. You know, I had an old art teacher a photography teacher that said that all the photographs that I took, he was always in the lab watching me develop this stuff in the dark room, and he would say, you really have like a symmetrical square like with everything that you do. It's like squared or it's symmetrical. So maybe that has something to do with it, but even looking at the stage on this old video, it's like, yep, the cabinets are symmetrical, our guitars are the same. You know, I don't know, but it's really interesting because the Flying Vs are our tradition, so it's cool to go back and look at it and say, wow, man, there was a time before we had the Flying Vs, and it was it at this first show. Yeah, Diamond Head, Lightning to the Nations, again, going into it. I mean, I was just really like, I was just excited to do this first kind of, you know, that long sustaining whoa, that first part that comes out vocally on this song, and just trying to hold it out as long as I could and see if I could impress any of our friends in the audience. But, you know, much like Metallica used to play Diamond Head songs and old, obscure, new wave of British heavy metal songs early in their career, you know, I guarantee there was not a single person in the audience that knew that this was a Diamond Head song. I guess us on our first outing, putting our best foot forward, we're going to play one of the best songs ever written and maybe pull the wool over the audience over the eyes of the audience, a bit. But yeah, so that, you know, I think I had some nerves too. And seeing here in the second verse, I did make a mistake. I think I was trying to go to the solo part in the bridge where the guitar and bass kind of do this, that line together, that riff together, but I got ahead of myself there. And that happens a lot during this first gig. One of the biggest fuck ups on this song is after the part that I was just talking about. So there's that middle riff, that part that we do together. And I actually added a higher bass harmony on that, on the studio version of the song, that ended up on the Expanded EP and later Live, but I didn't hear it in this first concert. I just hadn't figured that one out yet. And that hadn't really, that Night Demon signature of the guitar and bass harmony hadn't really fully fleshed itself out yet, especially in cover songs. You know, at that time we were just trying to copy the song as it was, just to, you know, to make it as true as it could be to the song. So, but after this part happens, when we go into the big ring out parts, that dun 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 dun, right over it, and Brent's holding down that riff, the ding 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 ding. So, coming back into this, into the beat, into this song, has always been a challenge, and you can see and hear it here at our very first gig. I'm not sure if it's on some of those demos. I think actually the first demos that we did for this song, you know, we may not have recorded the fucked up parts, and we may have just, what you know, what you hear from the demos of Lightning to the Nations are basically the last versions that we had at that rehearsal that we did right. So, you know, again, there's nerves at this gig. It's the first song we ever played live together, and we just biff it here. And you know, Pat comes back into the beat, and I think he did come in at the right part, but Brent and I both went to that high F chord again when we should have just went into the riding that A, the ding ding ding, right when the vocals are supposed to come back in. However, what I'm extremely proud of here is that, you know, you could tell that all of us have been in bands throughout our lives because we recover great. The band doesn't stop. And even though we missed coming back into it, we kind of find a way to get back without totally embarrassing ourselves. And if you don't know the song, you really don't know that it's a big fuck up. This whole middle part after is actually kind of a disaster if you know how the song really goes. But again, one thing that's cool is, like, even at the end of it, we're holding this A, we're playing the A note for too long, and I look back at Pat and we go back into it, and then I do the sustaining whoa note again, which I'm not going to do here, but it's, you guys know what I'm talking about. And my voice cracks horribly on this. But again, there's a lot going on. I'm not giving myself any excuses, man. But I'm just saying, the train did not totally come off the tracks. And that's what I'm proud of. It has a jammy kind of feel to it. And we had good stage communication at our first gig, and we got through the first song, and this carried us on through the rest of the set. So at the end of the track here, I'm holding out this open A, and you know, we hit the last note, bam. But of course, I'm still playing because my other hand, I'm drinking a bottle of water. So you can tell these were amateur days of the band. That would never happen on stage now. I would actually finish the song before I fucking did that. And one thing I will say again about Lightning to the Nations, that a lot of people, actually, I don't know if anybody knows this, during that historic fifth rehearsal of Night Demon, when we recorded the debut EP, we actually did record Lightning to the Nations. That version has never been heard. So that probably won't come out here, but we will put that out on something when we do probably on the 10th anniversary reissue for this record. So we get into track two here of the set. Our namesake, Night Demon, the first track of the EP.
We are Night Demon. This song's called Night Demon.
Yeah.
So I guess we're kind of going in a little bit of order here. If you take into account how the songs were written or when we came together as a band. So when we go into the song Night Demon here as the second song in the set, you know, I said something to the fact that, you know, we're Night Demon. This is the first time I'm talking on stage, I guess, right? Hello, we're Night Demon. This song's called Night Demon. I kind of said that as a joke. It was kind of funny. I can't remember where I got that. There was some live record. Oh, it was Alice in Chains, I remember, on their album, Alice in Chains Live. Lane Staley says, here's a song off our album, Dirt. The song's called Dirt. So I always thought that was kind of silly. So I think I had that in mind when I said that. Again, there's not a lot of seriousness going on. We're very nervous. We're playing in front of our friends who, you know, 2 weeks ago saw me up there as like the white James Brown, right? And, you know, we're trying to impress them, but we're a bit self-conscious, I would say, to come out here with this. A lot of people in the audience, close friends of ours, had heard the recording that we just did, and I think we're really stoked on it. And we wanted to make sure that live we were given that impression that, you know, because the recording was so raw, we didn't think it was that difficult to portray that live, but we wanted to play it right, you know, and we wanted to play it good. This song has a really great feel. And here I am, I'm watching this video on this screen right now, and like my legs are kind of bouncing. It's got a really good swing and a really good rhythm at the tempo and the way that Pat plays it. I noticed that when we do it now, it does not have this. It's there's no way I'd be bouncing like that playing this. So, you know, and I love the way we play it now, and I love the feel that Dusty has on the song, but it's pretty cool to go back and see it the way that it was. And, you know, I honestly enjoy both versions, but I'm enjoying watching this this rhythmic bounce happening with me right now during this song. So my vocals on this song are a little shitty. We're a little out of tune as a band, but, you know, you're getting the point across. You know, I remember my vocals being a little bit strained actually in the couple weeks after that Heartbeats release gig. And I wasn't as good of a singer back then. I was still, you know, trying to get my bearings as a lead vocalist. And I hadn't been a successful lead vocalist really until recent years. So, and again, nerves were playing a big part there, but, yeah, the tempo of the song was cool. And, this is like the first time that, you know, I guess I was headbanging in a band for a long time. I was headbanging a lot in the Heartbeats. That was kind of my metalness coming into that world. But, you know, after this night, I remember having like the bangover from hell. So the bangover is the neck hangover after a night of banging your head. And it's like, it's not fun. You get used to it when you're doing it every night on tour. But if you don't for a while, you're in for a painful couple weeks. I'll say that. So after the Night Demon song is done, I grab a sip of water, towel myself off there. Brent tunes his guitar. Very casual. Nothing like we would do today. We would be going right into some other form of production or right into another song or keeping the energy going, keeping the energy alive here. But looking on this set list here, it's Lightning to the Nations, Night Demon, and then it says Bass Interlude. Mm-hmm. So essentially, this is, you know, this is a band that's playing their first gig that has four original songs and has, you know, had basically a week to try and throw some stuff together, you know, that's going to fill enough for an opening slot. You know, you got to play more than four songs, especially the short length of these first four Night Demon songs. So with Lightning to the Nations, added that as a cover, we have five songs, but we still wanted to do some more. So essentially, I put in here what is a very short bass solo, and that's, I guess, why we would call it a bass interlude. So truth be told, I was just really happy to be playing bass again and to be playing an instrument in a band. And I had some pedals I was fucking around with that I hadn't been able to use in years. And I was just happy to be playing rock again. And so I kind of just put together this, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I was trying to channel my bass heroes somehow. And I guess this was the start of what would be my career as a singing bass player in heavy metal. And I wanted to put some focus on the actual musicianship that I wanted to bring to the table besides just being the vocalist. And actually watching this video, Brent finishes tuning and takes off his guitar and sets it down. I don't know why, because I wasn't planning on staying up there for so long. And I wasn't up there for long at all doing this thing. But it's just so interesting to see how much we've evolved and how much more professional we are on stage. And so you hear I go back into the analog delay here and I'm keeping things going so I can create some noise and keep it going, because we're going to go into the chalice next. So here I'm keeping this delay riding out after this bass interlude, and I walk back to my amplifier to trigger the fog machine. We had this tiny little fog machine at the time. And you can see me point over to the soundboard. And that's my cue to our good friend Robin Ryder, who's doing sound and lights for us that night, to change the lights red because we're going to play the chalice. Now, this is long before the days of Rocky. So our mascot had not existed at the time. But we did have the Satanic Mass, which we did talk about in the chalice episodes of the podcast, but the Anton LaVey Satanic Mass, and we did have the sampler, and you know, Dusty had mentioned that he triggers the samples live. Well, he wasn't in the band yet, so I was doing it at this point. So here's me. I just did a bass solo. I've got the delay going. I've got all this noise happening at the end of it. My guitar player, last thing I know, he's got his guitar not even on, probably because I'm messing around up there. And our drummer's just sitting that back there behind the kit waiting for something to happen. So I go back there. I hit the smoke machine. I signal Robin to change the lights to red. I hit the sample for the chalice. And I go back up, and it's an awkward thing when I turn the delay off and the sample goes. And here we go. We're into the chalice. So here's me trying to wear too many hats and do too many things, but you can see where my head is at. You can see that I'm trying to make something, I'm trying to create a live experience, something that's more grandiose than just three guys going up there drinking beer and playing rock. And this is it. From the first show, you can see these are the beginnings of the things that were playing out in my head of what a show is. You have to have some showmanship. You have to have some visuals. You have to have some elements. You have to have some flair. You have to be entertaining. We're entertainers at the end of the day, right? So that's where my head's at with this.
They say that Jesus is coming tomorrow. I got a couple things to say to him. Let's see those fucking horns. Come on, bring them up.
During the intro, we're tuning up our guitars, and I say something to the effect that they say Jesus is coming tomorrow. On May 21st, 2011, was Harold Camping's The Rapture Judgment Day. It was the end of times prediction, and they were talking about it all in the media very heavily around that time. The Rapture. And so I said that, and everybody obviously knew what I was talking about. So we used the full intro for this. Obviously, we've shortened it since our first gig, but this is the full intro. And, you know, you could hear people talking amongst themselves in the audience, somebody yelling, "More fog." We're looking like we don't know what the hell to do. We can't leave the stage. It's a tiny stage and it's way up there. It's pretty high off the ground, you know. So we're just kind of looking around. You could see Brent move his set list because it wasn't taped to the ground. Just, oh, you know, I grab a drink of water a few times. Pat does hand me the switch for the fog machine because it was on the ground kind of near him. And I try and fog it out some more. We're just kind of waiting for this thing to start. But it does. And the song kicks in with that fucking bass. And hearing my bass tone and hearing this song come in at the original tempo that it used to be, it's pretty cool. And, you know, the song went great, I think. This version of the song definitely has a slower tempo than what you hear on the EP, and it, of course, a slower tempo than we play live these days. But I think it's cool. It does provide a bit of a break to the audience from some of the faster pounding aggression that's been happening. I definitely miss the harmonies on the chorus, but it's nice to hear, you know, this song again at the first time it's ever played. And I mean, I don't know if you could hear it on this video, but, you know, I vividly remember people yelling the chalice throughout the whole set from the audience, because that was kind of like the inside joke around town. It's because we were called the Chalice first, and it's like we had a song about a chalice. It's just, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff here. But it is nice to hear, you know, I do the low harmony on one of the choruses here. And again, it's got a nice laid back feel, and it's really cool to be able to hear this again. So the next song on the set list is an Angel Witch cover, the song White Witch. This song is off their first album, their self-titled record. This is basically the Bible for us. I mean, this is an album that I've loved for so long, and to finally be in a band that would play it is just fucking amazing. The problem is, again, me wearing too many hats and trying to pull this out. This was a total last-minute song, and I didn't know the lyrics. And so what I did was, you know, I kind of knew the lyrics, but I wasn't sure. And, of course, I'm at this nervous part in the show. I remember I had some lyrics taped down for this, but they were in our mad dash to get on stage with our fog machine and all this shit. The lyrics were all mismatched. I printed them big on multiple pages so I'd be able to see them. You know, printing lyrics live, it never works out. I should have known better. But they were just, you know, I can't remember if I had somebody helping me out and I asked them, "Hey, tape these to the ground," not paying attention that, you know, my set list was in the middle of them. Half of them I couldn't read. And the other ones were just, they were in the wrong order. So it went like page 3, 1, and then 2. So I'm singing all the wrong verses and then the wrong lines. And it was just pretty embarrassing for me personally. But at the time, nobody, again, like there wasn't any Angel Witch fans in the audience. So it didn't really fucking matter. Listening back to it, it's a little cringeworthy to hear that. And, you know, I guess I lose some points for not knowing the lyrics by heart. But again, you know, I mean, that wouldn't happen these days, of course, right? But again, like, it's just, it happened. It happened. It's part of our history. And I'm glad that we at least made an attempt to try and play a song like this. Just hearing the first part of this song, when that guitar riff comes in by itself and it's got that phaser effect on it. I think that the original was used with an MXR Phase 90 pedal or a Phase 100, something like that. But Brent had the MXR Phase 90, the Eddie Van Halen version of it. And the funny thing is that when we saw Angel Witch for the first time, it was in Sweden in the summer of 2014 on our first European tour. And when they played this song, White Witch, you know, I went and looked at Kevin Hayborn, the singer and guitar player, looked at his pedal board. He's had the same phaser that Brent had, the MXR Phase 90 Eddie Van Halen signature model. And so it was cool. I knew we were doing something right. The midsection of this song is probably my favorite part about it. It's got a lot of really great dynamics. And for a band that I would say wasn't very dynamic in Night Demon at the time, and just three guys kind of bashing it out, we hadn't really, you know, especially in our first show, we hadn't played a lot together, and we hadn't just like developed we didn't have any ballads at the time or any kind of soft parts going down, but I thought we did this really well. The midsection of this song is probably my favorite part about it. It's got a lot of really great dynamics. And for a band that I would say wasn't very dynamic in Night Demon at the time, and just three guys kind of bashing it out, we hadn't really, you know, especially in our first show, we hadn't played a lot together, and we hadn't just like developed we didn't have any ballads at the time or any kind of soft parts going down, but I thought we did this really well. On the third verse of the song, after that midsection, you see a guy walk in front of the stage with a tuxedo shirt and a bow tie. So just if this video ever does surface and see the light of day, I just want all Night Demon fans out there to know that at the Bombay, the club we played at, their whole thing for years was that the security guards wear tuxedo shirts and bow ties. It's like an elegant thing. But they're security guards. It's not, I know it looks out of place at a metal show, but that's what they did. That was their thing. And yeah, that's that really brings back a lot of memories seeing that happen here. The next song on the set list, Radar Love, the classic cover from the band Golden Earring from the Netherlands. This is another one. I think we may have just rehearsed this a couple days before this gig, just to have another song in the set. This is the version that you do hear on the expanded edition of the EP from High Roller Records. I think at the time we were listening to the Noonday 7-inch from Aragorn, the new wave of British heavy metal band, the song Black Ice. And they had a cover of Radar Love, I think, as the B-side, and did it really kind of like a chunked out part. And I think we definitely took inspiration from that. There's many different versions of Radar Love. We have an official live version from 2016 from Cleveland that Century Media released as a single, just like a video single. And there is actually a studio version from the Curse of the Dam sessions that has not seen the light of day, but it's a great song. And we've actually played this song in the Netherlands at the club that the drummer of Golden Earring owns. And we had no idea, but we played it on stage for the first time. And I think he was kind of like pretty stoked. The audience was definitely stoked, but it's always one that we like busting out for the Dutch fans when we play there. I was banging my head so hard on the heavy parts of Radar Love that actually, looking at the video now, I had a earplug that flew out. At the time, I had got these molded earplugs. They were like super expensive. And the idea is you go to the doctor and you get your ears filled with foam, and then you send it off to this lab and they create these custom molded earplugs that go right into your ear. There's noise canceling, but you could change out the filters. So I had these special filters that only cut out like 9 decibels, just all the bad shit, but enough where I can sing and hear things that are going on. They were kind of like the state of the art thing at the time. And here I am, my first gig using them. I'm headbanging so hard and I'm sweating. One of the things just flies out, right? It's not molded very well, right? Can't handle the headbanging of Night Demon. After this song, you could see me just looking on the ground everywhere for it. I ended up finding it after the show and somebody stepped on it. It was completely fucking ruined. And I never ended up getting the molds done again. So in what may be one of the strangest things that has ever happened at a Night Demon show between songs, happens next between Radar Love and the song that we closed the set out with, Ritual. So just to give you some context, at the Bombay, in the front room where we played, is where they do the rock stuff or just the live music, live band stuff. They also have a back room where they do all the dance music and the hip-hop stuff. And there's always a DJ back there. At least at the time, that was their format. And it's just super bassy and loud as fuck. And I mean, it was kind of, I mean, it's hard to drown out a band like Night Demon. But, you know, between, you can really hear it between songs, and it's just kind of just ruins the flow of the set sometimes when you're playing there. Just kind of, you know, there's no door separating the front room and the back room. So, you know, the owners of the club did the best that they could, but that's just how, that's the setup. That's how it was. So I think you can hear me mention something about turning it down on the mic, probably because I was just insecure and I felt embarrassed that it's like, you know, we just got through this ripping version of Radar Love. And, you know, for whatever size crowd was there, I mean, they were loving it. And we got a great applause after that. And things are going well. And then you hear that. But so anyway, on the sampler that we had a brand new sampler. And I bought it basically just to play the chalice, to play the intro, the Anton LaVey sample. But it came with some loaded samples and it had some R&B kind of hip hoppy kind of stuff in there. So that's what you hear there. You hear me play that sample and I did a little dance and on stage. That was the intro for Ritual. And right when that was over, Brent rips right into the song. And the fury that we have playing Ritual, it was a great way to end this set. Man, I wish we kind of would have opened with it. But it came out so well that it did end up as another track on the expanded version of the EP. The middle section of Ritual rips. We're actually nailing this. We're so in the pocket. We didn't successfully do this on the EP, on the recording, and we left that sloppiness there because it was real and it was authentic. But live, we nailed it here, and I'm super stoked. We played this song at a fucking ripping pace. So after this song, I decide to get in the audience and look for my earplug and stall the show. Another amateur move, first gig, just, you know, I don't know. I'm looking for my expensive earplug. I'm asking people. The band's just standing up on stage. So this doesn't last too long, thankfully, so I can get up and play our final song of the night, Ancient Evil.
Last song of the night is called Ancient Evil.
The tempo was blazing on this one too, and it just felt really good. It's kind of like we hit our stride here on the last song. We kind of knew things were coming to an end, and we just had that feeling to finish strong. And I think we probably chose Ancient Evil as the closer because it does have that big epic ending. And then we didn't have to really come up with anything. It was already kind of built in the song. But it was just really great. And watching this now during this epic ending, I'm like kind of trying to shoot people like I'm holding a rifle with my bass, much like Steve Harris from Iron Maiden would do. And I think it's just, here we are, man. We're living out our heavy metal fantasies here in front of a hometown audience of our friends. And we're just living there. We're in the moment. We're totally living in that moment. Not thinking I'd probably ever watch this again or anything was ever going to happen with this band or people were ever going to hear these songs outside of that bar or outside of the stereo or the car of some close friends of ours. But here we are, a decade later, and it is what it is, man. So there it is. There you have it. The very first Night Demon show, May 20th, 2011, the day before the supposed rapture. It was a night that I will always remember, and I'm so glad that we actually did get to do an official show with Pat Bailey, because that was it. It was the last one and done, but I am so grateful for it, and I'm glad that somebody was there to record it and capture it. Because it's such an important part of Night Demon history.
I'm really glad that I was there, you know. Again, it was another point in time where if somebody would have said, hey, you know, Dustin, you're going to one day be on stage with this band, and Armand, who's playing in Bad Reputation, who's in New Liberty, is going to be in this band, and you guys are going to be touring the world together, I would have never believed it.
And the show just rocked.
So that's the story of Night Demon's first show, the first lineup of the band, and in attendance at the show, the future final lineup of the band, which is pretty cool. Like I mentioned before, audio and video of the entire show are available in the bonus section on nightdemon.net. It's definitely worth checking out. And until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is bar none the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon History and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
Greetings, boils and ghouls. This is your comrade, the Crypt Keeper here, reporting dead from the Sanctuary of the Strange. Tonight's macabre myth is a fright-filled feature, one overflowing with monsters, madness, and magic.
Visit our website at monstersmadnessandmagic.com to stay up to date on all the dark dealings within the Sanctuary of the Strange. Enjoy the show.
Hey metalheads, I'm Mark and I host Metal Forge. Let me tell you about the show. The Metal Forge features the best underground metal from all over the world. We spend every week with a different artist with interviews, in-depth conversations, and most of all, the music. We also feature audience interactivity where you can submit your questions to the upcoming guests. New episodes are out every Friday at noon Eastern Time at MetalForgeRadio.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Want to know what's going on in the world of music? Then tune in to the Nothing Shocking Podcast, a non-genre-based, all-ages-friendly rock and roll program. Join us weekly for interviews with all your favorite rock stars from the mainstream to the underground. You can find us at nothingshocking.libsyn.com or anywhere you download podcasts.
Okay, metalheads, you've been complaining that there has not been a channel that plays all of the heavy metal videos from past, present, and future for years and years at this point. Well, that time is over. Heavy Metal Television is back. HeavyMetalTelevision.net is the website. Go there. You can see videos playing 24/7, 365, all the time. All the best from the old school, the new school, and everything in between. Check it out, HeavyMetalTelevision.net. It is where the metal is.